Well, my name's John Lee Pettimore. Same as my daddy and his daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. He only come a town about twice a year. You buy 100 pounds of yeast and some copper line. Everybody knew that it made me shine. Now the revenue man want a granddaddy bad. He left a holler of everything he had. For my time, but I've been told he never come back from Copperhead Road. In a big black Dodge, bought it at an auction at the Mason's Lodge. Johnson County Sheriff painted on the side. Just shot a coat of primer and looked inside. Well, him and my uncle tore that engine down. You remember that rumbling sound. And then the sheriff came around in the middle of the night. Heard mama crying that something wasn't right. He's headed down to Knoxville with a weekly load. You can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
Okay, welcome to the Punch Bowl. Welcome, happy Friday evening. This is William Rapillum, your host, and I'm here with two guests with me, Stephen Douglas Widener and David Scorpio. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Howdy, thanks for having me, William. I love that song, man. That's practically the Dark Corner National Anthem right there.
Awesome. Yeah, it's like my new favorite song right now. Yeah, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, David.
Greetings and salutations. I'm happy to be here. Looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah. Before you go on that, please go to republicbroadcasting.org and donate, folks. What you can donate, and whatever you can, if you have the means, please do so. Please try to set up a monthly donation, if possible, monthly recurring donation. you can mail check or money order to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or you can call in 1-800-729-2719. Did I get that right, Mike? 1-800-724-2719. So it almost all rolled off the tongue for me, except for that one number. It's only taken me like 2 years or something to get that. And that's definitely my bad. So anyway, happy Friday again, folks. And we're going to jump right in. Let me just, I got a bunch of material I want to cover. You know, we covered part of it or some of it or all of it or whatever we can get to. We're going to have a lively discussion, I'm sure. But let me kick it over to you guys, see what's on your minds. David, what have you been thinking about lately besides the, you know, if you got anything? Obviously, we're all focused on war, this false flag event, this yet another war, you know, with the same common denominator people involved always.
Shocking? Well, I wouldn't call it a war, though, because in order to actually have a war, both sides of the conflict actually have to have an army. And in this case, only one side has an army. We're basically just seeing the wholesale slaughter of civilians now. And I think this has been their plan all along, just to take the last bit of territory and remove the population. Now they have their reason to do so, and Americans are supposed to be 100% behind it because we love Israel, and no matter what they do, it's always good.
Yeah, and if you don't follow it, we're going to destroy you, we're going to ruin you, we're going to punish you, and if we have to, we're going to kill you. That's the motto. That's the Mossad Israel Jewish way about things, and sooner we pull our heads out of our rear sides and start bravely facing it, better we're going to be. So let me kick it over to you, Stephen. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, we're all Palestinians now, it looks like. You want to see what ethnic cleansing looks like? You take a map of Israel in 1947, and then you compare it every few years on out, and you can just see how it's grown, and, you know, they've taken over from the people that were there. That's what that looks like, okay? And then they want to talk, okay, It's very upsetting to see all this happening. And just like you said, if you say something that they don't like, they come and somebody posted something they didn't like. They came and bulldozed their house just because of words they said. I forgot all the details, but that happened. Even if you call them out, then you're a terrorist for calling out their terror, and they'll come and bulldoze your house just for the words you say. Nothing else, nothing more, no other excuse. It's they're turning it into Dresden, man. That's what they're planning to do. It's shocking to see, and it just seems like I didn't think I would see something like this happen in my lifetime. You know, they always would call it mowing the lawn. These people, this IDF would say that's what they do. Well, you know, that both sides are for their. Both sides are being funded by the same people, and they would let them build up a little so that, okay, well, now we got to go blow up some of our toys, you know, and then so we can go back and make more or whatever. But this is different. You know, this is more than just mowing the lawn, it feels like to me. This is like they want, you know, scorched earth again. That's how it feels to me. And I don't know if that's, but that's how it's been feeling to me lately. And so I've been kind of obsessed with that, honestly, to what's been happening there too much, I suppose. It's they gave these people 24 hours to leave, you know, get south of Wadi. Okay. And then, of course, Hamas sets up blockades and won't let them out too and back. It's like they're setting the people up. Both sides are setting just the people up for the slaughter. I saw these former IDF soldiers that came up and were saying, look, there's no way this would have happened, that they had to be let in. And I don't know why these were former IDF soldiers, but there's only one person that I've ever talked to over there who was a media person and was kicked. That person was kicked out of the IDF for refusing the vax. And it's been a year or so since I know anything they posted. I don't even know if they're still alive, but that they, even those soldiers were saying that their military betrayed them. They're setting them all up for this. I don't know what to call it, man. It's just like this big Armageddon, this big movie that they've got already written out in advance. You know, they were it just the whole world seems to be slumbering. How did they put it? Slouching toward Bethlehem. What that poem goes about, slouching toward Bethlehem to be born some new world or something. It starts to really feel that like that here recently, the past few days. Apocalyptic almost, you know, with the mosque. It just is there. They said the mosque has got to come down before they can build the third temple. It's like they want to finish this whole thing all at once. I saw where Putin was saying they have to resolve whether it's going to be a he called for Palestinian state, basically, is what I saw Putin call for. And you know, it's like all the things we said before are off. You know, Yom Kippur is like that's kind of like all bets are off kind of thing. All oaths are gone, and now here we're going to just settle this again right now. And I don't know. It looks ominous. You know, that's what I'm saying. The next week or two. And just thanks for asking me on. Sorry, I've been kind of into that a lot, and I don't know what's coming next. I keep scanning to expect them to start raising the place, and the people hadn't got to get out. I mean, there's over 1.1 million people living in that little box that they outlined. And what are they going to do? Kill them all now, right in front of the whole world? What's going to happen then?
It seems like they're, I'm calling it, they're giving it a little hyena. Now, they've been doing this quite a while now, but, you know, I mean, that's just, they're just the same, they're doing the same thing everywhere. You know, they're doing the lahaina on everybody, you know, everywhere. Lahaina was a small, obviously, it's a city, you know, Gaza is a larger area. Yeah,
lahaina
so.
Was the pilot program, and here we go, we're going to. They get bigger. It's like that's a perfect analogy, William.
They're going to Lahaina Gaza. That's their plan. Lahaina the whole world, really. I mean, they were Lahainaing, you know, San Leon. But there were a lot of Lahainas prior to Lahaina, like you know, Santa Rosa, Paradise in California. All those fires that sort of kept going off every year around the same time for 5-6 years and. To no end in the same places and blaming it on climate change and drought and extra brush being around. Anyway, a whole other thing we've done shows on before. We don't want to get too far into that. But well, let me kick it over to David now. Go ahead, David, and then I'm going to play this clip actually of the woman that I found one of the videos, a woman soldier, and I'm going to translate it because it's in Hebrew, but she's doing exactly what you said. There's no way the border could have been breached. Security's too tight. It's not possible. But let me kick it over to you, David.
Yeah, well, I'd just like to respond to a couple of things Stephen said. You know, in terms of the temple or the Dome of the Rock, you know, they already have a new Solomon's temple already built, and it's like a modular home. And they have the pieces of it stored in this big warehouse. You know, I actually saw a documentary about this years ago. It's probably been wiped off the internet, but they have it all ready to go. It's already in sections. So as soon as they blow up or destroy that mosque, they're just going to cart this thing in on wheels and put it together and call it Solomon's Temple. I mean, they have plans for this already. And I don't think there's any doubt the plan is just to take all the land and get rid of the Palestinians. It's pretty clear they're openly talking about a final solution. And you've got all these phony conservatives just coming out of the woodwork, supporting all this, what I would call bloodlust and calls for open genocide. I mean, that's what's going down here, guys. But I'll say this. I don't think we're heading towards a world war. I don't think other countries are going to get involved. Unfortunately, I really believe that the Arab countries surrounding Israel have been bought off through magic shekels or institutions like Freemasonry. You know, I saw a photograph of Benjamin Netanyahu giving the Masonic lion's paw handshake to the president of Egypt. I think his name is Sisi or Sissy. And, you know, it was a blatant Masonic handshake. So I think, you know, deals have been cut behind the scenes. And I think this is all just going to go down, and the media is going to cheer it on, and Americans are supposed to support it, even though it's an absolute crime against humanity by any standards of, you know, by any definition of the word.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what you said about the Freemasonry too. You know, ironically, you know, that song I just played in the beginning of the show, thought Stephen would appreciate that. I'm sure that he has deep roots with that song. Being from the South, there's a line in there about his daddy was running whiskey, and he got it in a big black Dodge that he bought at an auction at the Mason's Lodge. So we have the first, second, third degree Masons, you know, in our, you know, communities all over the country. Pretty much every town has a Masonic lodge. I don't know if there's any towns that don't have one. So this has all been a carefully crafted generations, you know, centuries long plan in the works, and we're really, really up against it now. And well, good thing we have a truth on our side. That's the beautiful thing.
Yeah, but I would just differentiate between the porch Masons of first, second, and third degree. Mm-hmm. At that level, Masonry is essentially just a social club for the most part. Most of those guys have no idea what they're actually involved in, or that they're actually involved in a satanic cult, essentially, is what it is. Yep. But, you know, the higher up the food chain you go, the more, secret knowledge is revealed to you, until it's openly told to you that you're actually worshiping Lucifer.
Most of those guys are Christians and patriots, you know, and they think that, you know, I mean, it's like the Demolay. I remember when I was a kid, I was in the Boy Scouts, and then they wanted me to join the Demolay, and that's like this, you know, that's where you start into the Freemasonry there. You know, I mean, so it's like the community organizer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You've got the Demolay, and then the Order of the Eastern Star, and Job's Daughters is for the girls. That's sort of the girl equivalent. And then the Order of the Eastern Star for the wives and girlfriends and family members of Freemasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stephen, let me kick it to you if you got a comment on that.
I always say I'd never join any club that would have me as a member. That's been a good rule of mine ever since I left the Boy Scouts a long time ago. Somebody else said that, but I'm just thinking about this. I was thinking about the local around here, how many Mason lodges there are. There are a lot of them. I've been to our junior senior at my high school was held not so much at the Mason Lodge, but at the Shriners Club associated with them. And then some of the other ones, there's some other, these Shriners clubs that are like bars that are associated with them around here. I don't think I've ever been in a Mason Lodge, but I've been in those Shrine clubs before, those bars. And a lot of times you will see people with their, that they have this little, it's cops. Most of the cops are all Masons. You know, that mm-hmm. I've noticed.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Especially when you get into the hierarchy of police, mm-hmm. then you really get into the heavy Masonic territory. Yeah. And, of course, you know, the Shriners are sort of this Islamic offshoot of Freemasonry, and you have to be a 32nd degree Freemason to become a Shriner, which is very interesting. Huh. And then there's even a secret offshoot of the Shriners called the Jesters, which has basically been caught being involved in orgies, prostitution, child trafficking, and all other kinds of weird stuff. So it's a deep rabbit hole.
Wow. All right, we're on the break. We'll be right back, you guys. Listen to me now. You need nails if you're broken again.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
I love that song, and so I, you know, let it play long for on purpose. So we're on the break. David, you were saying we had some interesting discussion off air there. I don't know if we want to get into any of that, but I can play this clip too. David, did you want to finish your thoughts you were having? You're on mute, David. In case you're
operator error. Sorry about that. What would you like me to touch upon there?
No, I just, if you wanted to finish your thought there, or if you wanted to bring up anything.
Well,
else.
We were just talking about 30s, you know, the degrees in Freemasonry before the break, and I was just, you know, I know a guy who's a 32nd degree Mason and a Shriner, and he was telling me that, you know, because of the decline in membership, they'll actually let some people jump right to the 32nd degree if they really want them in the club bad enough. And that's unheard of in the old days. And, you know, the revelation that Freemasons worship Lucifer, you know, is in Albert Pike's book, Morals and Dogma. And, you know, back in the day, you could not get a hold of that book unless you're a 32nd degree Mason. Of course, now it's on the internet and you can buy copies of it and use bookstores. But it really does say that.
I have it. I haven't read it yet. I have so many books I need to read that I haven't read yet. Yeah, Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike. 33rd degree Freemason of the Civil War. He was a general he was a Southern general, right? So interesting how those at the top were kind of orchestrating the whole thing. You know, I tend to think Albert Pike probably knew the South was going to lose. Probably wasn't a patriot of the South. I don't know. Just to think of like what he supported. I mean, we got some quotes from him.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting topic for a show. The leadership of, you know, I believe the Confederacy, at least at the ground level, was very real. And if the Confederacy had won, we'd be in much better shape. Because, you know, obviously it was all about the tyrannical federal government, not slavery. Slavery was on its way out. Everybody knew that with the invention of the cotton gin and changing economics. And, you know, the Civil War was really an economic war, because the North wanted to keep the South basically enslaved and as a source of cheap materials for the industrialized North. So we'd be much better off. But I do think, you know, this is another interesting topic. I took a tour of the Supreme Council, the Southern jurisdiction of Freemasonry in Washington, D.C. years ago, purely by accident. And they did have a whole little room of, you know, little things about the South and North helping each other during the war, Freemasons crossing the line and helping each other, doing things secretly. And, you know, so I don't know. That was pretty strange.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we've even seen movies about this. You know, I mean, look, a lot of the time was brother fighting brother, so they would pass it off like that in the movies, but You're probably right. There were possibly Masonic reasons, motivations for that as well. But man, what a horrible war to have to fight in.
Yeah, that
you
was
talk about a brother's war. That was probably the brother's war of all brother's wars.
Well, just for the record, my whole family fought for the Confederacy, except for one of the sons. For some reason, unbeknownst to anyone, he decided to fight for the North and become a Yankee. But the rest of my family was on board with the Confederacy.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. That must be an interesting story. Did they forgive him? Did he die?
He died in the war, so no.
Wow. Guess he made the wrong choice. Well,
every family has some kind of weirdo.
Yep. I think I'm the weirdo in my family, but not for bad reasons, at least not in my opinion. Well, let's see. Let me play this clip real quick. This is the clip of the woman who, and she's speaking Hebrew, but I'm just going to translate. I'm going to play it and translate it. I don't know if I should play the – I'll play it, then you can kind of hear. I'm going to turn it down. I don't want it to overpower the – so, and I'll just read what it says. Oh, okay. After the break, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight 4 of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
That song is the theme of the show. So lots to get through. We got Vinny in Indiana. I'm calling in. I want to play this video clip of this gal real quick. Let me play it. I'm going to translate it. It's just the IDF soldiers says there's no way they could have breached the border. Let me just go ahead. I'm going to play it and translate it. Share this movie as much as you can. Listen, I served as an infantry operations sergeant. During Operation Protective Edge, I served in the Gaza Division. Throughout my service, I was in the logistics support during the 2014 Gaza War in the Gaza Division. Listen to me well. There's no way in the world that anyone can approach the border without us knowing about it. The observers sit in bunkers. 4 hours, they can move their eyes like this. They sit in front of a screen. There's no way in hell they would wake up at night for a pigeon, for a stork that got too close to the border, for a cockroach that went under the barrier. They would rouse all forces in the sector. How could they enter with tractors? How could 400 men enter with tractors? And no one saw it coming. Okay? So there you go. All right, testimony from a former IDF soldier. Ah, Shoot. Okay. Dang it. Yeah. Okay. Comments from you guys real quick. If you got anything on that, if not, we can move on to the next clip and take our call from Vinny.
Well, I would just briefly add that this sounds an awful lot like 9/11. Somehow, a bunch of primitive terrorists living in caves outsmarted the entire U.S. military and all the defenses around the Pentagon and the airspace of America. How could this have happened? It's obvious this is, some type of a false flag. Either it was allowed to happen. And, there's quite a bit of questions around the upper leadership of Hamas, who really controls it. I'm dubious that it's an independent organization. I think it's a Judas goat organization designed to essentially make Palestinians look like terrorists and enable Israel to go on a killing spree.
Absolutely agree with you 100% there. Stephen.
Yeah, they were created by Israel to counter the PLO back in the 70s. But that thing, they're all controlled by the same side, and the people in between are just cannon fodder. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah, and by the way, David, fantastic analogy. I hadn't thought about that. It's just like 9/11. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is.
The same perpetrators.
Yeah. Right, and it was so debunked. That's been so debunked. Okay, so let's go to Vinny in Indiana, and then we'll do the next clip with Merrick Garland. That's going to be Merrick Garland using the Holocaust as a reason why the FBI investigated traditional Catholics. It's a few weeks old, but yeah, let's jump to Vinny in Indiana first. Vinny, welcome.
Hello. It's like you got the Richard Carey roundtable on from Fridays, except minus Richard Carey.
Well, I'm going to ask Richard Carey on next week and Jeremy, I think. And then I'm going to be on with Richard Carey next week as well on Friday on his roundtable. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably be all Richard Carey'd out like crazy. It's like just just kidding, Richard.
I listen. I like David's show. David is he does a pretty good job of predicting where Israel and where the Jewish, the Zionist movement wants to go next, what their next move, what their strategy is. But where I kind of differ is I think they're overly ambitious and things are going to rapidly fall apart now. Israel is dependent on us to provide logistical support. For example, like we're stealing all that oil in Syria, and we're routing it through the Kurdish territory and it's going through Turkey and then it's going into Israel. And they're getting a big chunk of their oil through them. And I think that's where I think we're going to get. There's going to be a retaliation on the U.S. troops in Syria, and where I think we're going to get booted out. And that's going to impact Israel. And I think also their access to the Red Sea at the Gulf of Aqaba, that's going to get taken away. It's going to get, I don't think Hamas is going to be that easily defeated. I think it's going to spin out of control. I'm much more, I think David Scorbro is everything right about what their plans were in Ukraine and everything, but I don't, their plans were to use Ukraine to create a huge, vast source of wealth for Israel and the Jews, but their plan to use that to also regime change Russia is blown up in their face. We're now in the last couple of days, there's a massive offensive now in Ukraine. So, the whole Kagan family, Robert Kagan, Donald Kagan, the father-in-law of Victoria Nuland, his whole thing was that he reinterpreted history. And it was like if the Hannibal was only more aggressive, the Carthaginians were only aggressive, they could have defeated Rome. And like other people look at that and said, the idea of invading Rome for regime change was insane. It might have worked for a couple of years, it did, but ended up what happened to Carthage, it was completely destroyed. So, Donald Kagan would say, the problem of the Versailles Treaty is it wasn't punitive enough against the Germans. I mean, everything was like, everything was just more cowbell. And I think, finally we're going to start things change and everything's going to fall apart for the Jewish empire.
Well, great call. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. It's just a matter of the timetable. I agree. Long term, the future of Zog is not a bright one, just simply because understanding of what's going on is expanding very rapidly, and dislike or hatred towards the actions of this people is spreading worldwide, and there's no stopping it. But the problem is when, what the timetable is. But I agree, the future of Zog is not a bright one, and thus the future of America is not a bright one either, because they're going to drag us down there with them for sure. But in the short term, they're just going to wipe out Gaza, and I don't think there's any stopping that part of it.
Yeah, it's either going to be that, or it could be like when Russia thought that they could take over Chechnya, and then they found out that tanks without without really good combined armed support are useless. I mean, the Russians, they completely rebuilt their armor force, so they have support vehicle tanks that can fire like at really high angles and elevate the gun, and when the Israelis went into Lebanon in 2006, they got their ass handed to them by relatively small number of Hezbollah with, second, third hand, older anti-tank rockets.
That's true. Absolutely true. I think what we're seeing is just basically a carpet bombing of Gaza happening right now. But I agree that, the Israeli army is not what it's cracked up to be. Believe me, it's not. Most of these Jews are actually quite frightened, and they don't actually want to risk their hide getting involved in a conflict. They want to risk someone else's hide. They're very good at that. So I do think that, it's going to be a terrible situation, but when you're carpet bombing, civilian areas, that's what they're going to do. They're just going to basically level the place and then go in and do cleanup work. But yeah, they're going to lose a lot of soldiers. And I think it also shows that Zog doesn't actually care about sacrificing lower level Jews for a greater cause.
Yeah.
Well, and their entire endeavor. I mean, everything that they're based on is pretty much wiping out humanity. So it's like, and then being the last people left. So pretty much, if the world doesn't wake up, there's just, you're right, David. It's totally inevitable that the world's waking up to this horror that is, that's befallen us. That is the Zionist power. Go ahead, Vinny.
Yeah, I'll just say one last thing. Yes, I think absolutely the Israeli intelligence knew this was likely to happen, that there was going to be a Hamas uprising if they provoked them of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and some of the other things that they were doing. But, they got what they wished for. Now you see if they wanted what they wished for. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is going to end up backfiring on them. For sure. Yeah. But I'll say this. I'm a little dubious of just how bad the attack really was, because there isn't a whole lot of footage of all the damage from the missiles that landed in Israel, causing all this destruction. And, of course, they always inflate the numbers of casualties, to get people's emotions stirred up.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Vinny. Steven, let's get your
comments.
Thank
you, guys. Have a good night.
You too.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Vinny. They have ramped up the propaganda to like unbelievable proportions. But if the one sign, I think, that maybe things are fracturing in the wall is that the people there, even the Israelis, the lesser brethren there, if you will, that they're starting, are saying, hey, man, they don't care about us. They've given up on us. And as it was almost this civil war there, they were saying, I heard a lot of people say Israel's having a civil war a few months ago while we were focusing on the Ukraine. And then now this happens just as Stinky gets back in power. And I called Netanyahu Stinky. I don't know if it's true that I heard that somebody said his name in some language there means nasty smell. So, and I saw Blinken and Netanyahu. So Stinky and Blinky were over there having a press conference live about 6 a.m. yesterday morning. And it just, I don't know. I'm sorry. It's just, I'm sick of it. I hope it does fall apart for him. I hate to say, but I think you're right. There's nothing that can be done to stop the destruction of Gaza that's coming.
Well, I'm going to try to find that. I'm going to play this clip, and then I want to try to find, we'll kick it over to you, David, for your comment, but I want to play this clip, and then I'm going to try to find that conversation and see if we can't play some parts of it. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I just want to briefly respond to Stephen. You made a great point, which is that literally months before this, Israel was really in the throes of a political civil war, not a, you know, a fighting civil war, but they literally had, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in the streets protesting against Netanyahu and his government. There was a wide-scale rebellion going on. A huge split within world Jewry is actually happening right now. And I think that's something we need to be aware of and not think that, you know, there's this unified force. The Jews are actually very split right now, and that's a good thing for our side. But you're absolutely right. There was a huge uprising against Netanyahu. Of course, that's all memory hold now. Nothing like a convenient war, or let's say conflict, when you want to unify the country. Because look, now he's unified with the opposing side to defend Israel. It's, you know, it's ridiculous.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, and if those who are opposed to Netanyahu will oppose Hayas, you know, flooding white countries with refugees. You know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that. That'll be like a little asterisk I'll put next to that, next to your hopeful comment there, David, not to rain on your parade or anything. But let me go ahead and let's play this clip of Merrick Garland here.
Justice Department was founded in the wake of the Civil War and in the midst of Reconstruction with the first principal task of bringing to justice white supremacists and others who terrorize black Americans to prevent them from exercising their civil rights. The Justice Department's job then and now is to fulfill the promise that it is at the foundation of our democracy. The law will treat each of us alike. That promise is also why I am here. My family fled religious persecution in Eastern Europe at the start of the 20th century. My grandmother was one of five children, born in what is now Belarus, made it to the United States, as did two of her siblings. The other two did not. Those two were killed in the Holocaust. And there, little doubt that but for America, the same thing would have happened to my grandmother. But this country took her in, and under the protection of our laws, she was able to live without fear of persecution. That protection is what distinguishes this country from so many others. The protection of law, the rule of law, is the foundation of our system of government. Repaying this country for the debt my family owes, for our very lives, has been the focus of my entire professional career. That is why I served in the Justice Department under five different attorneys general under both Democratic and Republican administrations. That is why I spent more than 25 years ensuring the rule of law as a judge. That is why I left a lifetime appointment as a judge and came back to the Justice Department 2.5 years ago. That is why I'm here today. I look forward to your questions.
That's the end of the clip. I just want to say that you got a cornered animal that's obviously very emotional and very scared about everybody waking up to Jewish power. And just flailing about like Leviathan, and in a very high position of power there. It's a very dangerous situation for Americans that this man is in power. It's an extremely precarious situation that we are in. Innocent people's lives are at risk because of this man and his dangerous misinformation that he keeps and everything that all the lies that he keeps spouting out of his crazy lunatic psychopath mouth. You guys
go ahead, Stephen.
He said He said a lifetime appointment as a judge. That's what just smacked me in the face. I thought any society that appoints judges for life is not going to survive, or it's just going to be ruled by its judges. You know, it's that's what hit me. It was like, what? Judges get appointed for life? Okay, that don't seem right.
Ooh, that's a good point. I would still... hit by the emotions of his speech, I had to let Stephen go first. Oh, God.
No, this is the guy, of course, that Obama wanted to be a Supreme Court judge. Let's not forget that. Of course, his real name is Moishe Garfinkel. His grandfather changed the family name. He left that part out of the story. And he chose Merrick because he thought it sounded like a sort of a blue blood WASP name. So this guy's, you know, a typical, let's say, Jew, and he's actually a psychopath. You hit the nail on the head there, William.
There's no, it's nuts. It's crazy. He's weaponized the entire Justice Department against the American people like nobody else has done before in all of American history, to my knowledge, but I'm probably wrong about that because I keep learning new things about, like, Lincoln and Roosevelt. And those two seem to be big ones. I don't know if I missed, Lyndon Johnson. I don't know that he did that. He's done some terrible things like allowing the USS Liberty. Anyway, but let's kick it back to you, Stephen. Got about 9 minutes
they're
left.
They're all powerful. You know, the government can get away with whatever it wants. And it's like we're all Palestinians now, too. You know, that's they're going to bring that stuff over here too. I don't know, man. It can get blackpilling sometimes. I have to say, I just hope that that they don't do that to all those people. If something stops it, it's like, why? I mean, come on. It's like they always want to extend the war, more war. You know, I wanted to say that for years we've been having that where they would go, like I said, mow the lawn or whatever. But we got four aircraft carriers on either side of that conflict now, two in the Mediterranean, one in the Red Sea, and one over the Persian Gulf, all surrounding Israel and the Middle East, and one just left headed for there. That's going to be five aircraft carriers. For what? I mean, there's something else brewing. I mean, this is more than just we've got to go fire all of our weapons so we can get Congress to make us some more. You know, this is something, a great change coming.
Hmm. Well, anybody else got anything they want to wrap this up with? I was going to move on to something else here from Renegade Tribune. I got an article.
No, go ahead, William. I think Stephen wrapped that up very nicely.
Yeah, cool. All right, this is out of Renegade Tribune. It's new. Pro-Israel rep Richie Torres says losing 600 Israelis, this is from 4 days ago, is the equivalent of losing about 20,000 Americans. Wow, okay. So we see again, sort of a smaller example of the Jewish life one Jewish fingernail is – Are 1,000 Goyim lives are not worth one Jewish fingernail? Is this kind of reeking of that same sentiment a little bit here? I mean, how dare this guy compare 600 Israelis equivalent of 20,000 Americans? What if we went out and said, so even if he didn't mean it in that context, if we went out and said, you know, losing 600 Americans is equivalent to losing 20,000 Israelis. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Merrick Garland would probably kick your door in. I have no doubt Merrick Garland would show up at your house and take you away in cuffs from your family, put you in a FEMA camp, torture you like in the Bolshevik days. I don't know. What do you guys think here? I mean, I just read the title. I didn't even read this. I could read the tweet real quick. Hamas's surprise terrorist attack by air, land, and sea is Israel's 9/11. Losing 600 Israelis is the equivalent of losing about 20,000 Americans. If you murder, wound, rape, and abduct civilians and children, as Hamas has done, you are not a militant. You are a terrorist. Media should stop sanitizing terrorists as militants. Hamas is a terrorist organization, just like the Taliban and Al-Qaeda are terrorist organizations. Back in 2001, no one in the mainstream media described the attackers on 9/11 as militants, blah, blah, blah. Okay, over to you guys.
Boy, they, you know, if you watch the video footage of Merrick Garland, too, he's so strange looking. He's got those kind of weird tinted Dr. Strangelove glasses and this that weird raspy sandpaper coated voice and really weird, odd body language. The guy is just creepy looking.
Yeah, I mean, I sometimes have a sandpaper voice, but I think it probably doesn't come off of that, because when you put these characteristics on this guy, I agree with you. He just, there's something not right looking about him, and I have everything. I believe it comes from the inside out.
There's something wrong with that boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Creepy looking. Steven.
Yeah, I don't know. I sounded like his voice almost sounded, reminded me of Robert Kennedy's. But
oh, yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like, yeah, his voice was cracking. And, you know, when Robert F. Kennedy has that, you kind of sympathize with him because he's mm-hmm. actually speaking
yeah.
up for people. He's defending against the vaccine and everything like that. I mean, yeah, Robert Kennedy's cucked to Israel and knows his support, but which politician hasn't done that? Mm-hmm. You know, not that I support doing that. But at least, you know, this guy's not even like a human being, really. I mean, he's all about destroying people and lying for the reasons for doing it. You know, it's disgusting what he defends. And so he can't come across by anything but creepy monster, because that's what he is. Creepy monster.
The Federal Bureau of Instigation. It's been sick ever since Hoover founded it. I mean, I just don't think there's any redeeming this system. It's not a Justice Department. It's a Just Us Department, and you do as you're told.
Yeah, Stephen, I agree with your comment about the FBI. I think it's been a deeply corrupt organization since its inception. You know, let's not forget that J. Edgar Hoover was a closeted homosexual whose lover, Clyde Tolson, just happened to live across the street from him for 30 years. And supposedly, you know, the mob had photos of him in, let's say, compromising positions. And he denied that the mob existed. So there you go.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah, catch Steven's show tomorrow at 9 a.m. from 9 to 11.
Eastern, 8 a.m. Central.
Eastern, and catch David's show. What time's your show, David?
3 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Central.
Awesome. Thanks for joining me, guys. Everybody have a great weekend. Talk to you later.
Super T helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the T is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.